Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2022. Today on The Ether, part two of the two-part game night hosted by the Space Skellies with a crypto open mic after. Let's take a listen.
I was just messing around, Ambito.
This is my first time on the loop decks, and the fucking tutorial is popping up. I have to click through it.
Guys, but
you should make a video about it.
How?
There's your content.
I have a grudge. I have a grudge against them.
You're trying to snag them.
Or am I like cut out?
No, I think Don is trying to talk, but I don't know if you guys can hear him or if you guys are just talking over it. Either way, it's going to be funny. Which one is it? Can you guys hear
Don? Am I being ignored?
Oh, he's pissed.
No. Don, you were not. I'm just laughing because this is a funny situation. What do you want to say?
I want to ask, how Juno can come out of this if it doesn't have any other token reserves and all the funding is simply done in Juno. So, you actually have to keep liquidating Juno. And the lower Juno drops, seriously, the more difficult it becomes because then you have to liquidate higher.
No, Don, Juno. But what you're failing to understand is the power of DAOs. And how the DAOs are going to save it. Just watch.
Yeah, we just need a bunch of sub-DAOs and we're all good.
Yep. It'll happen.
Yep.
DAO it up.
Gotta make sure we can stake all our NFTs, guys.
We need sub-DAOs. Sub-DAOs.
That we can stake our NFTs and get loop tokens for, right?
Don, you do bring up a good concern, though. The funds, they should have at least converted some to USDC or something, right? When Juno was at an all-time high, or even a little less.
Yeah, I mean, who's managing that community pool? They should have been fucking flywheeling that shit.
Let's go even with small amount, right? Let's say you want to keep developing. The rewards are still high. The validators will be dropping. And let's say you will fund $200,000 for development of the apps in the grants or whatever. Then at another, I don't know, $300K that validator will be dumping. Can you get the buy pressure a monthly of this amount to sustain, or it will be going lower and
no.
The sell pressure will be increasing? Not
with 100... lottery games, not with 1,000 fucking dragons staked, not with 1,000,000 DAOs. There's no fucking way.
This is exactly what is called death spiral. You can't come out, and this accelerating more unless you the best solution would be slash the Juno validator set to 50 now, probably. Because it's insufficient. People lose money. Everyone is selling. So I don't know how it could actually work. And so 200K funding, if Juno tried to even sustain on $2 million a year, that's a lot of sell pressure. Then validate. No one buying Juno now. We know this. No one has money to buy. So it's...
We're turning it all into stars and minting NFTs. Fuck.
I had about $3,000 worth of fucking Juno, and I hit on staked 28 days, and now it's fucking $900 worth, and I still got 14 days left.
Yeah, that staking period's killer. I pretty much just write off. I don't have... Pummeled. Yeah. Pummeled. Any Juno that I have staked is just written off. It doesn't exist anymore. It's just for the validators.
Do you guys know who has the small, lowest unstaking? If you put it on their validator and you stake it on the
Osmo.
No.
And Stargaze?
Osmo's 14.
Yeah, Stargaze has 14, but I actually think we should go to like much less, and I think that's the end game because people will want
liquidity. Okay, so here, you guys aren't listening. If you would just go to Bodstrom and stake some boot, you can unstake it after like 6 days. I'm just saying.
I think
because that's the end game. I think everyone should lower, and we probably like in a few years we will end with one bonding day or something like this. And I see no reason why it wouldn't be this way.
Have you heard of Babylon? That's kind of what they're trying to do with like Bitcoin. I don't know. It's over my head, but they're trying to use Bitcoin to make bonding times way shorter, like a few hours.
Oh, I
doesn't didn't that just check. Completely fuck your governance up though? If you can just stake vote, then unfucking stake real quick. And
yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
That just doesn't seem like a very good idea.
But I think that liquid staking though, since we have liquid staking, we could make the bonding periods longer. and
I'm not sure if it's year. Sure if it's fucking your governance, you still hold in tokens. Like, so you as the holder have rights to vote, right? And you would feel much more secure to stake. So, for example, many people like are unstaking because they think, oh, soon it's going to dump, I need to be ready, right? But with that, like in the bull market, you don't have to think about this. You are simply being staked and you're not trying to time the market, you know? I think that's probably...
It just depends what kind of size you have, because some people can stake enough to just like live off of whatever their staking rewards are, whatever the inflation is.
Yeah, maybe, but it's going to end. I wonder how all the like, you know, Core One feels when like they had like 40 million.
They feel great, bro. They dumped it like 40. Core One is fine. Trust me, they're good.
Yeah, maybe. You know what was really annoying? Like I saw that like someone complained yesterday on Twitter that they were promised like so much in the RODAO. They were providing better liquidity. And then it's Dimi commenting, "Welcome to the club." I'm like, "You fucker! You are not part of the club. You have not bought your tokens, and you not lost money. Your tokens were like just given to you. You were insider at RODAO. You probably received a lot of money, and you saying, yeah, welcome to the club, like." Bitch, you are not part.
Well, yeah,
of the
but that's pretty
club.
Much like that's the ultimate trick of crypto is to never onboard any fiat and to just do menial tasks and get airdrops and get people to pay you in their shit coins, and then you can do whatever trading you want to do that way. He's living the dream, dog. Don't hate on that.
Yeah, I'm over here stressing out because in 2 weeks when they release my Juno, it's probably gonna be worth $50.
I unbonded a bunch of Tori. Like they have like 21 or 28 days. It just unbonded today. I think when I first started unbonding it was like 55 cents and now it's like 6 cents. So I'm just going to just fucking stake it again. What am I going to do?
Bucky sell it for 4 stars.
I sold, I guess it's like $20. So I could buy a Maneki.
Yo, but Maneki is a little expensive, to be honest. Like, I'm like, I would buy.
God.
Well, are you talking about minting a Maneki?
Here we go. There
Tank,
we go.
Tank is going to fucking freak out. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's not, Don. It's not.
It's not? Okay, it's deal. But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm asking for $5 and no one giving me. And you telling me that
because
Maneki is good
we don't
deal.
Give money to panhandlers.
Yeah, nobody wants to encourage or validate your drug use, Don. We have our own drug use to validate and encourage.
How so, yeah, like addiction is
my weed
for,
right now. I need my $5.
Go suck a dick
me.
Like the rest of us had to, fucker.
Addiction is not easy, man. You know, like you need to like if I'm not gonna get that flowing in my veins, you know, it's actually very dangerous. So you're not giving me like $5. You pushing me to prostitution.
Only on the internet would I ever meet an addict poser. And I got to say, it's been a very beautiful interaction. Thank
maybe
you for that.
$2 at least.
You would feed right into in San Francisco, Don.
$1.
Don's been to Skid Row before.
You could head over to the Castro District, and you'll be you get all kinds of money over there, Don. All you got to do is just shake your little booty and do some pull-ups.
Don doesn't have a little booty. He's got a big booty.
Show him the videos. Just show him your videos. You'll fit right in.
I got a story about fucking driving through Castro. If you guys don't know what the Castro District is, it's where all the gays hang out. And I was driving by, and then my wife and I, we were just dating, right? We were just driving by, and then for some, they're just out there, butt naked, right? They just do whatever the fuck they want. And then there's a couple, and they're just there sitting on the bench waiting for the bus, and they're fucking butt naked, but they're both holding a cup of coffee. And I was like, where do they have the money at? Where do they keep the money?
In the boots. Back in the late 90s.
We used to work there.
No, they had sandals. Sandals, and they were just butt naked. But they had a cup of coffee. Holding a cup of coffee.
Probably used everything they had on that cup of coffee. So they just brought the cash probably like in hand.
I don't know. Tell us, Don. What do you think, Don? Where did they keep the credit card? What was the credit card at?
Bumhole, of course, bumhole, where you like, it's everything can be held there. The notes are the easiest because you can just roll them and you know, put them in. It's the safest spot.
The old like, prison purse.
You know what's the weirdest thing about white people? That white people lick their fingers when they count the money.
You're white.
Not realizing that there is actually a lot of poop on the money. This is the weirdest people are doing.
Don't tell them.
You know, I'm white, but every time I see someone, I and money, and then again, like you picking up the poop from the money and leaking. Like I guess I will never understand that. I think people underestimate how dirty money is. Slings is doing thumbs down. I think Slings is actually leaking fingers to count.
No,
the money.
She doesn't lick money. No,
I think she does make money.
Clean,
you know. Yeah. So when you count the money, never lick your fingers to count it. Like you eating poop, you literally eating.
You just
poop.
Lick the bill. You lick the bill instead, because your fingers are where the poop's at.
Well,
could you like spit on your
exactly.
fingers
the
and then like do
already.
It?
There is poop on the bills. There is
All right.
There is
That's
null,
enough internet
I,
for tonight.
King
you
Notes.
Guys have a good one.
King Notes is coming. King
if
Notes.
You're just joining us, we're talking about licking poop off money. Thank God this is being recorded.
No, I have he's saying that he's
null,
saying that it's
like,
unsanitary.
Because
so he just want to keep us safe. Thank you, Dr.
Recently,
Tony.
When I wanted to talk to the King Notes, he said he's very busy. And now I know it's a bullshit. You just don't want to talk to me because you think I'm... a little bit too
Donnie,
offensive
baby,
to
Donnie,
your little weak ass and get the fuck out of these spaces.
Don't be rude to our friend. No, this is a B-Bands. I'm on the Space Skelly's Twitter spaces. I don't know why I couldn't remember where I was, but anyways, I'm here. If you want to come up and chat, we're just kind of hanging out, talking all kinds of different stuff. And Don Kryptonium is apparently trying to invoke some kind of reaction, but please, no, he is just kidding.
I am not kidding. I'm 100% honest. You know, like I left some offensive tweets or something, and I'm messaging King Notes on Telegram. Hey man, do you want to go live? No, I'm very busy these days. The dude literally like do nothing. He drink beers, eat steak. And once in a while, he wake up to do the network upgrade, you know, and go to this little game of nodes, the podcast, because I gave the platform to some of the validators. So they thought they also can do the internet show. And they think that anyone listened to them, but actually no one really listened to them.
I was watching it today, actually.
Yeah, because the robot shared it. The robot shared it, and this was like the peak of their existence, really. Like, if no one shared them, like, no one watched them. Like, the middle-aged dudes drinking beer and thinking they know shit.
Wait, Wait, are you talking about my?
Are you talking about my YouTube? About me, but I was like, I'm not a dude. But
I thought he was talking about my YouTube.
No, I'm talking about the podcast Game of Notes, most popular Juno podcast. You know, the validator specialists, the validators who think 3K a month given for the creator with 400 subs that no one watch is small money. But I guess if you like earning the APR for a year, for literally doing nothing and having the discussions on the internet, you lose in touch with reality. So yeah.
Are you trying to get on their podcast?
Yeah, like, are you trying to get them?
No. I was invited before, but I'm not getting invited because, you know, they think that probably few tweets I left recently are too offensive for their show. And as we know, they don't allow offensive people whatsoever. You know, it's all about positivity, about rational, you know, about steak and drinking beer.
Sounds like you're a big fan.
Yeah, like not really. But
what tier validator where would you put King Nodes in the validator tiers?
I didn't mean to mute everybody. My bad.
I
thought you tried to cancel me the same way that King Nodes trying. No, he's good validator. You know. But yeah, that's it. You know, non-contributing validator, because I don't know what's his contribution, but like he gets some like great delegations from like a lot of support from many people. But I'm not sure like what else the null is doing. You know, but yeah, nah, he came with this great initiative, new subDAO, about the delegation, the foundation delegation. So I guess this is great contribution. That's the all contributions that happen on Juno, you know, subDAOs of subDAOs and delegations, because that's where the money is from the delegations, you know.
I just realized I let somebody on, but they only have like one viewer. So I don't know if Jacob, do you want to say something?
Oh, yeah. No, I just want... Wait, can y'all hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
So I'm like 16, right? I was wondering if y'all know, like, I got like back knee and like acne all over my shoulders and chest. Do you know how to fix that? Or like, is that just like a me thing?
You just need to age a little bit.
Yeah. So where this is not a health episode, so I'm going to put you down to listener, but you're more than welcome.
It just said chill and grab a mic. I was like, all right.
Oh, okay. I mean, fair enough. Fair enough.
he got you there. He got you.
He got me there.
Make him a co-host. Make him a co-host.
Jacob, what is that's enough out of you. Jacob, what is your PFP?
Oh, it's like an N64 controller made out of skin and eyeballs and shit. It's real nasty. I thought it looked funny.
I can't look away. It's interesting. It's different.
I looked at it also.
The joystick is a nipple. It's the funniest part.
Where did you buy these at?
Oh, I didn't buy it. I just saw a picture online. I screenshotted it.
Whoa. You screenshot your PFP? You didn't buy it on Stargaze?
No.
Oh my god.
Do you own
it? Don, talk to this guy.
Do you own crypto, Jacob?
No, like I believe it's people should be able to steal the NFTs. Like so I want to tell to anyone, I'm not affiliated with any NFT project, but if you like an NFT on Stargaze, I encourage everyone to just right click save and use it.
Wait, I want to find out if Jacob actually owns any crypto or NFTs.
I don't got enough money to start with that. Plus, I don't know anything about it either.
Don't start, dude.
We don't really know anything either, and we're like elbow deep in it, so it's not really it.
I'd rather stay out of it because it's dealing with like tons of money and stuff, and I don't know like nothing about it.
Are you really 16?
Yeah.
It's kind of late now.
I don't plan on getting into it.
No, I'm just messing with you. 16 is probably, you probably have better things to worry about.
He was saying you're supposed to be in bed.
No, it's a Christmas break, man. I got 2 weeks off.
Nice. I got one more week left and then I'm off for a week.
Nice.
What do 16-year-olds do nowadays? Do they stay? Vape. No. Do like they still hang out with friends? Or do they just game friends?
Still hang out with friends.
I think they changed their genders.
No, I'm normal. I'm born a boy, I'll stay a boy. You know?
Well, what do you mean normal? Oh my god!
I mean,
no, I'm just messing. I'm a teacher and I teach older teenagers. So I'm just messing with you.
What
I'm just keeping it the same. I see
some hate speech.
No.
What do you mean by normal? Like, can you elaborate on this?
I mean, like, I'm just chilling. I'm just chilling the same thing I was born as. You know.
I am. Do you think I am as the transsexual male woman not normal?
Yeah. I mean, shit. If you want to be, that's fine. I don't really care. It don't bother me.
Yeah. Can you please say my pronouns now, and I will check if you do well.
You can have list all every single pronoun.
List every pronoun you got.
Yeah, can you try?
Yeah, what are they?
Is this space being recorded? Because I think we might get some controversy.
Oh, Noel's coming up to speak. Holla,
okay,
hi, Noel.
I'm out.
Don't run away, Don. Do not run away, Don.
Yeah,
he's coming.
Don't
bye-bye.
Run away, little baby. Hey, Noel, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
Are you already blazed with the beers today or still sober?
Huh? I didn't hear you over the sound of my sober? Beer cracking.
are you sober or already like heavily intoxicated with the ethanol?
I'm always.
He just opened it. Give him a minute.
Yeah, let him take a sip first. Damn.
Yeah. Why are you so into me today, Don?
He wants to go on the podcast. He realizes that there's not space for a fifth person on the podcast. The way my phone screen is, it can only fit four. So he's upset that he's not on the podcast.
No, I just don't think we play in the same team. No, I thought we are friends, but I think we are not the same. And, you know, you are in the losing team, but it's okay.
Why? Is this because I was busy the other day and couldn't go live with you?
Yes, he got in his feelings. No,
and I don't know how busy you were. You are never busy. So like, don't lie.
You're making a lot of assumptions over there, bud.
So no, King, would you have Don Kryptonium on your show? Would you or either vice versa? I don't know what Don's trying to accomplish here, but would you be willing to chat with him?
I've been live with Don before. We had really nice conversation. I don't know what the problem is.
Don!
I can't really say the same about my guest, sorry.
You didn't think we had a nice conversation?
He's calling you a bitch, no.
That's all right. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
No, joking. Was very nice.
Don wouldn't be the first person to not like me if that's what he's calling me. It's, you know, can't be everybody's friend, man. It's just the way life is.
No, I think you're very liked, to be honest, in the community. I think people love the King Notes. You know.
Look, man, I'm not sure where the beef is, but we're just over here doing our thing. We do our validating. We help out where we can. our podcast is just us talking. It's not, you know, we don't shill anything or do anything like that. It's just
I understand. I just, you know, I've seen this independent validators, the group on the Game of Nodes, as more of the community-driven validators, right? And this group was extending to the, like, maybe even Highlander, who you had on the show. But I actually don't feel you are as community-driven. Maybe it was because you ran the validator for so long. Maybe you've been successful doing this. That you kind of like losing the touch with the community. You know, like, for example, Lavender. I thought Lavender is like very, you know, like it's he started, I think, on Juno, right? And for example, I made this prop on Juno that only open source projects can get funding, which is crypto standard. There is no grant program where closed source get funding, but then like Lavender voting no, and Juno is like open source permissionless network that function as the public good. And I'm like, I don't know, this guy might be suffering from lack of thinking or something. Then you had the show when there was Cosmoverse, and Cosmoverse was asking some money. I think it was like $50,000 to sponsor the Cosmoverse, and you guys were discussing how like not great it is, but yesterday like spending $18,000 on the person from the hub that brings absolutely like zero value was small amount and it's okay. You know, like you claim to be community guys and doing for the best of the community, but your friend Highlander was actually running essentially white label validator, no different than me, and he was like incentivized by the Juno, receiving like delegations. I'm not sure about the grants. Like he's also part of the grant in the like some teams, I believe. Yet, like he benefited in hundreds of thousands of dollars dumping all the rewards. And it's nothing wrong to dump it in US dollars, but it's pretty bad when you change the rewards from the chains you validate in, for example, into atoms, because it seems you don't believe in the project. And I don't know how many of you is doing this, but this is truly like not fair and not honest towards the community. I'm not sure what are your thoughts, but I hope it can be spoken. But yet validators like me, who made most of the content, gave the platform to many of your colleagues, to many of your validators, the first channel who actually spoke about validators, the first channel who promote validators like you, independent, small, Lavender 5, King Notes, Needlecast on my channel multiple times, giving the platform to the core one, giving the platform to the app being developed. Never received a single delegation from the foundation, never received a single support from the core teams on Juno, etc. And in fact, it's often considered as the negative. But the guys like you, your colleagues, are profiting heavily from the community and yet not really being fully honest about this. And this is all I have to say.
Don, you know? I was just gonna say, Don, like you're not letting Null speak, and also like, you know, back his shit up. So let's give Null the floor here.
Null, you have 15 seconds to respond to that.
Yeah,
Jesus.
So sorry, Don. Like, man, yeah. If you're asking questions, can you try and isolate them individually? But yeah, and I'll try and like I sort of lost track of all the things through there. But in terms of the podcast, I mean, we're all just individual validators. Like we talk about things on the podcast, but we just vote you know, our own thing anyway. So I think I voted against your proposal for the open source, and that's not because I didn't think that you know, things that get funded should be open sourced. It was more because it was too open-ended and didn't have any scope So there are sometimes when things that might be closed source might need to be funded or incentivized. So it was just, it was too broad, and that's why I voted against it. And I voted for the one from Jake because it had some more control.
Okay. I'm not really sure. Like, if you don't, like, you can simply Google what is open source, and I don't know what's broad, because somehow other protocols can simply state on their pages that only open source get funded, and somehow it's not considered too broad. But here, like, it's too broad. You need some definition to help, or
example,
what?
Don, for example, I'm the one I pushed on the Hack Juno subdao to change the. This is before your proposals and all this type of stuff. I pushed to change the documentation and the incentivization from Hack Juno to just open source code. Like, there is, for the most part, things should be open sourced, and but there may be, you know, occasions when it can't be. So it's not always just as simple
and,
as.
And don't you think? Sorry for. Don't you think that the fact that Hack Juno was really giving money to closed source is absolutely sickening? Don't you think it's like really bad, considering that this is the community-driven project?
Well, that's why I changed it, Don.
Even.
That's why I changed it.
That's
why I put the proposal to the DAO to change it, because I didn't think we should be incentivizing closed source code.
Yeah, but like, I wonder how much of that was already spent, how much money was drained there, right? That's the
You can see it. It's on the chain. Mm-hmm. There is very little money went to any open source. They scored low because very little money went to closed source. They scored low because they were closed source.
Yeah, like I guess that's good. In the Terra Developer Fund, the few million dollars went to CDF.
I know,
but I'm saying the people who are in TDF were highly supported by the Juno community.
I think everybody is in agreement that TDF could have been done better. I don't think there's any opposition to that.
It not could have. There is no doubt. So I think that's quite obvious. Do you know why so many of you, like validators, receive such a heavy support from anyone but me, despite like you know, making so much content on Juno and showing the support of Juno for a whole year? I received absolutely zero support.
So to date, like Core One have been in control of the delegations. I don't know why they choose to support certain people and not other people, but I do know that I've been involved with Juno and supporting them, like with documentation and helping run test nets and many, many, many other parts of the network since before they launched, long time before they launched. So I think there's been like probably priority given to people who have been working with the network for a long time. That's just my guess. I don't know specifics, but I think also that you were pretty vocal about running a white label to begin with when you started your validator. I suggested to you later on that you partner with someone and not run it as a white label. And specifically in the delegations handbook, it said anybody running a white label won't get delegations from the core.
I understand. So like, it's actually not white label. I'm partner with Josh. This is separate entity.
Well, you are now, Don. You are now. Initially, you said it's white label. You were paying someone to run your
because
node.
I believe that was definition, but it's not. Like, no, I don't pay anyone. I never paid anyone to run my validator. We share the server costs and we run it together. So this was like misconception. But
does Josh run any other validators?
I understand. Let me finish. So you said the white label is excluded. I thought the Highlander nodes was independent validator, but I actually learned that Highlander never run his nodes. And I believe the person who ran Highlander nodes, there was potentially this person was running two nodes they own and Highlander. Yet Highlander was incentivized, and I believe he was also recipient of the grants. Do you have any words on that?
So I know for a fact that Highlander was at least running his own nodes. I don't know his current situation, but when the network started, he was running his own nodes. And the problem with white labels is you don't know who's white labeling unless people tell you.
I think Highlander was telling me like that he's non-technical and he doesn't know how
I helped him with questions when he was running his own nodes, so I know that he's running his own nodes.
Right.
To begin with.
What do you think about the validators who run the infrastructure, for example, on Juno, Evmos, and since the start they would be not really like selling this to benefit themselves, but simply like switching all of the rewards to other tokens, like Atom, absolutely like 100% of that, and benefiting in the amount of hundreds of thousand dollars in a year from validation, and those money would be simply from the like Core One and Foundation delegation. Do you think it's okay from the moral standpoint?
So I don't know about other people's operations, but I'll tell you about ours. So we had obviously some delegations from the Core One on Juno. We never had anything on Evmos. I think we have delegations from some of the team on Stargaze, and we sold to fiat currency a lot throughout the bull market. And that was a business decision so that when things go to shit, we could continue to run our operation and do all the other things that are involved with the business. So at the moment, I'm pretty sure we're almost running at a loss, but we can run our operations now without any issue. And, you know, we've got a war chest for the company. It's not, I don't know what other people do, but that's what we did. And we got a lot of heat when we were selling rewards for not supporting the projects and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, we're a business and, you know, we want to survive. And so that's the way we did our risk management and we're here to stay. So I don't know how other people run their businesses, Don, but if they're earning rewards and they want to make it to other currencies, then that's completely up to them. I don't think every single transaction by every validator needs to be scrutinized. And if you look at the big guys like Cosmo Station, they've got to liquidate all their rewards to support their businesses, and they provide things like Mintscan and stuff like that. So, you know, people are all, they've got their fingers in lots of different pies. They've got lots of different strategies, but at the end of the day, you want them to survive. You want to be able to recognize a strong brand, and that's why people delegate to them.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. But it is a problem when the like it's not done as the fair game, right? It's problem when I see White Merlin staking here and many others. It's the problem while those validators got simply getting money from that by the Core One and the delegation.
We put hundreds of hours in the Juno before it. Before it launched, we put hundreds of hours in the Stargaze before it launched. Like these guys, a lot of these guys were heavily involved with all of the debugging and test netting before they launched. It's not like they didn't just out of the blue get delegations.
Well, I don't know. Actually, like the
you know, don't know because you're not in test net still. You got nothing to do with like the network development of any of these things. You're a YouTuber and you're shitting on people who have spent shitloads of time on these projects.
Okay, so I'm just a YouTuber. I meant 100.
Well, you're a YouTuber,
but you
are in the community.
I'm just a YouTuber who literally like put hundreds of hours of work on the content of Juno and doing interviews and letting people to learn about Juno and making tutorials on Juno. But you're right, I'm just a YouTuber shooting,
job. But you need to appeal to the people who are making these delegations, mate. It's not, you know, why am I the enemy because you didn't get delegated.
No. Like, I understand I need to appeal to them, but I owe to the community to be honest. So if the chain claim to be community driven and I see the mistakes being done by those people, I owe to the community to be honest to them, because I could be responsible for them losing money. And I believe when we have the community driven chain, we need to be open and the honest. And you say there are people who spend hundreds of hours and they receive delegations for this. But there is entities who received massive delegations, not for that. Example is Oni Validator, who came and within a month, he was in top 20, receiving delegations from everyone. So,
who were the people who was getting delegations from? Like, obviously, he's convinced those people to do it. It wasn't. I think I looked at who he got delegations from. He did get a delegation from the core fund, and I think that was probably for, you know, TDF stuff and that type of thing.
For one proposal. Yeah.
So I know nothing about the TDF fund, by the way.
Yeah, I understand,
it's not within my purview.
Don.
Yeah.
Let's take it down like a couple notches. Actually, let's take it all the way down. I'm about to go to sleep. We've been in the spaces for a few hours.
You're being kind of heated.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming, guys. Thank you for chatting. If you guys want to do your own space and, you know, chill there some more, you're more than welcome. But Mama's, it's 1 a.m. here, and B-Bans. Mama doesn't do well without her B-Bans. Sleep.
Thank you for hosting this, and thank you for everyone who
No, you don't need to go. Make me the co-host. Make me the co-host.
Okay, I'm going. Bye-bye.
Bye, Don.
Don, keep your ass here. I'm enjoying the drama.
You said I'm this out of
here. The fuck is gone.
You know,
B-Bans, you ruined it. You ruined it.
Ruined it. He ran away as soon as he saw you. Now people are leaving. No, I was shutting it down.
You scared him.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry, Jacob. You had to witness this. This is what, you know, it's all about.
I said game night. I came more with like video game based questions and like that type of shit.
So no, but... Jacob, what happens is once a month we play
the drama. The drama. This is the lore. This is the storytelling. This is a part of the video game. You need to understand.
It's like you know, when you watch wrestling, they have like the WWF and they're wrestling and they have like this whole storyline and He-Man's mad at the other guy. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but
I get it.
Like a soap opera. It can be like that in these places, but it's just trying to community, trying to talk with each other. But I am going to shut it down. Noel, thank you so much for coming and hanging out and being so gracious and such a gracious person. And I appreciate that. Gaines, what did you want to say?
I was going to say, Noel, I think sometimes people just get kind of confused on where to stand in all this, right? Because they are contributing via content creation, but they also don't really understand everything that goes into, you know, keeping the chain in its lively state. So I think it'd be better for you and Don to just hop on a call and just hash out all his questions. And I think he's just a little confused right now. He's going through a lot, dude. But I totally stand with on a Noel's side on all this. Because, yes, you guys put in tons and tons of fucking hours, but because you're not a content creator like Don, people like him don't see what you guys are doing, right? It's more on, like, the back end.
Gainsy, bro, we're content creators, man. We do Game of Nodes.
Fucked up, Gaines. Jesus, Gaines.
No, I'm talking about, like, how Don sees this, right? Because, like, he even said it, like, you guys just do your own show. You don't basically invite every single person in the IBC ecosystem like Don does, right? And also just does a stream like every day like he does. You guys have your own little niche on your own content, and he has his own little niche, right? It's way different. His content is way, way, way different.
Gaines, you're digging a hole for yourself. Please stop.
So I will say something, right? So we like really We like to have certain kinds of guests on Game of Nodes, and mostly those kinds of guests are developers. I'll give you an example. The other day, we had like a representative for Ignite ask if Jay could come on, and we said no because it wasn't like the type of person that we wanted on there. We didn't have any interest in it, and so we said no. And we did actually talk about having Don on the show as well, but he's just like recently been seemingly like really antagonist on Twitter, and we just didn't think it would be a constructive conversation. So we decided not to have Don on. So, you know, we do like consider all requests. It was just, we just want to go and basically talk about the things we want to talk about. And most of that is development related. So, you know, we kind of just make those decisions ad hoc. And we don't claim to be like a, you know, all encompassing show. It's just, we mainly want to talk about validator stuff and like developer stuff. And some people just don't really, and books and movies and dumb shit. And some people just don't fit the mold of what we're looking to talk about. So
way different. It's a way different type of show. Like I said, it's night and day. If you compare it to what Don does, he doesn't really get into talking about validating like you guys do a lot, or more technical stuff. So I think he's just a little confused, Noel. And maybe you just hit him up and hash all this stuff out before it all goes on Twitter and it becomes a shit show, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, I've been live with Don at least once, maybe even twice. And look, Don's a great interviewer, and he asks lots of things that people are uncomfortable answering. And I love that. I love watching his videos. So I've got nothing against him at all.
Hey, Cosmos Joe, I see your hand up.
No, I was going to say, I think with Don, if you answer all his questions, he'll change his mind. I don't think he'll go berserk on Twitter. Most of his Twitter stuff, I think, is just like a character of himself.
Yeah, I mean, but like we, you know, as a group, we just thought about, you know, I think maybe he would have potential on our show in terms of like governance things. Which we talk about quite often. But, yeah, I mean, you know, other than that, you might just want to talk about the type of beer I drink.
One of the things about your show that I noticed, I watched the first episode. I remember when you guys put it out, because what I was saying early on in the spaces was that there's not a lot of people to copy from when you're making content, right? But what you guys do really well is you balance the talking, and you move through the topics well without leaving anything hanging. So it's probably a good thing that you're super selective with who you bring on, because that's going to be, it's going to be hard to duplicate with somebody who's not one of your four regulars on the podcast.
Yeah. And I mean, we tend to talk about like a lot of tough topics as well. Like we're not, like our show is not like a pump show. We're not there to like, you know, new projects. We don't sit there and just give them the praise and tell people to go and buy their token. Like, I'm hypercritical of a lot of things. And one of the things I'm hypercritical of is like pumponomics and memonomics. And I talk about it all the time. And I tell it straight how I think about it. The fact that I validate some of these networks is, you know, conflicting with me sometimes, and I've started shutting down on networks that I just don't think you know are in the user's best interest. So
okay, can I ask about that? What networks have you shut down on? Because I was just curious how some of these networks are going to be profitable or you know benefiting the validators in any way when the token prices are so beat up.
So I'll tell you one, we've never sold a token of since we started validating on it, which was Dig. And I started Dig because Jacob was involved with it. I used to talk to Jacob a lot about validating and, you know, the Cosmos. And he was sort of like one of my mentors, I guess, when I first started out. And so to support him, I started on with Dig. And over time, like it became apparent that Dig was kind of stuck in the mud the use case that they wanted to use it for just couldn't be done right now. So the other day I just pulled the pin on Dig. But I am working on like my own documentation for why we are continuing on the chains that we validate. And there are lots that we don't validate on because we just think that they don't fit the mold of what we want our brand to be. So, you know, I'm working on policies, token sale policies, like, you know, how we run our business so it's transparent on our website so people can actually go and see it. But yeah, definitely Dig was one we dropped. And I don't think, like, I think I'm actually going to drop Passage. And that's, they just, I'm not sure what they're doing. They seem to be waiting for their token sale. But I just, I haven't seen a lot out of them since they started the chain. I'm not even sure why they started the chain so early, if they were going to wait so long before they did anything. So a couple of us have actually been thinking about debonding Passage. But thinking very seriously about like the new chains that are coming up as well, and trying to like do more research on them before they launch to decide if we actually want to validate them before they launch rather than retrospectively unbonding. So, but that takes a lot of time. And, you know, we don't always get it right. So sometimes we find ourselves launched and then debonding later. So I would like to get it done sort of before they launch so that the users don't delegate to us and then run the risk of like being delegated while we're unbonding. So if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, it makes sense. Someone like me has no idea how that all works and how those decisions are made. So I was just curious. So thanks for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I really want King Nodes to be associated with quality projects. And so, you know, we've taken the approach of not validating every single new project. But that's not to say that that's wrong. It's like some people like to do it that way because of the brand recognition that they are everywhere, and everywhere you want to go, you can delegate to that same validator. I'm taking a different approach in that I want to strengthen my brand with quality projects that people know if he's there, then maybe this project could be okay. So,
got it. Well, this space is not being recorded. So can you name like 10 or 15 of the chains that you think are horrible?
Don't lie to the man.
I'm
Hey Rebel DeFi, I see you down there. You got a mic, but you haven't said hello. And EJ just sent me a message. He you know, he's gonna hop in, I think. Yep. So we'll be open for a bit longer. Hey Rebel.
Hey, what's up, E-Burns? I just wanted to jump in and say, don't shut this down. Let Dawn keep going. I'm just chilling on a beach in Thailand right now, and it's quite nice entertainment. Noel was holding his own. I really enjoyed that conversation. I mean, I don't know how long it had been going on for. I'd only been listening for about 10, 15 minutes, but yeah, it's quite exciting.
It seemed like it went on for a while, guys. I don't know.
That's because Don talked to himself for like 15 minutes.
He was going on like a full ass speech. That shit was crazy.
I didn't even know how. I was waiting for him to give Noah time to like write down some of the shit that he was saying. It was pretty funny.
Where he's at right now, Jacob? Do you know where you're at right now, bro?
I just wanted to ask like a movie question.
I'm good with movies. What do you got?
So I want you to be completely honest.
Sure.
Back when Godzilla versus Kong was announced, whose team were you like actually on, Godzilla or Kong?
What year did that movie come out?
I haven't even watched it.
It was like a few years ago. Like it was pretty recent. It was pretty recent.
I only know like 80s movies, dude.
Shit.
Or like 90s action movies.
Hey, son.
There's a ton of people on Kong's like Team Kong for whatever reason, and that's just like crazy to me because he's just like a monkey. He's just a big monkey, whereas Godzilla is like this giant, like atomic fucking like lizard, and you could like easily destroy him.
I don't understand how like Kong could possibly win that fight at all.
I mean, they gave him like this cool axe, which like deflects Godzilla's atomic breath or whatever. So he was able to put up a fight at least, but
In the Godzilla movie, in the Godzilla movie, he's like the size of a skyscraper, right? So they're not even
like bigger than that, like a little bit.
And Kong just climbs skyscrapers, so like there's a pretty big disparity.
They like to change the size a lot in every movie.
I don't like that. I think that's dishonest. They're asking way too much of me in terms of, I could suspend disbelief for like a Sylvester Stallone or Schwarzenegger movie, but no, get the sizes right, and then we'll see who could really win in a fight. Yeah, that's the most important thing, is getting the sizes right.
They need to fix the sizes.
Sunnyside, right. do you have a?
He has a size question. Yeah.
You know. Okay, I'm just gonna hop off of that topic. I did have a question though. So King Nodes, and I see White Merlin. I think I'm pronounced Marlin. Here, I was eventually gonna bring this up sooner or later, but from your guys' perspective as a validator, if a proposal was put onto Stargaze where there was an airdrop to recruit another team over, and the airdrop was giving some stars to that collection's holders, and then as well as giving some stars to that project's team, and a small referral fee if a community member referred that project initially, would you be open to voting yes on that, or would you be a stark no? And that would be to King Node right now.
Wait, you need to expand on that question, Sunnyside. You need to expand on that question.
That's confusing.
I think from what I understand of that question, you're saying that you would like, so, you know, theoretically, a community spend proposal to give stars to the project that is coming over, as well as the holders of that project, and the person who referred the project to Stargaze. Is that right?
Yep. And the referral bonus, I'm going to call it a referral bonus, it would be relatively tiny compared to the other two. But I think that would be something that would be important.
So, I mean, this is kind of off the cuff, but I think that I would probably be a no on that. And the reason I say that is because I think that if a project, I think projects should choose their platform based on that platform's merits. I don't think we should be trying to buy projects across. And so one thing that like I'm a strong proponent of is not spending community pools. And I know that sounds a little bit strange, but I think that the people's view of the community pools is not correct, in that a community pool is not a pool of money USD waiting to be spent. The community pool is a liability against the liquidity pools. So when we give away money from the community pool, it is taking money out of the pocket of the community. So I don't think that everything should be incentivized, and I don't think that we should just be spending money willy-nilly, if that makes sense. I mean, that's like...
Can you say that again? Sorry, no, I'm really sorry. Can you say that again about being a liability? It skipped a little bit while you were talking.
So what I mean is that... the community pool is not cash, right? It's a bunch of tokens that are out of circulation. So once we when we do a community spend proposal, those tokens come into circulation, right? People can sell them. And so all of the liquidity pools for all the tokens are all like 99% owned by like users and you know, token holders, right? So they put up the collateral for people to be able to sell against. So when you give somebody $100,000 out of the community pool, the likelihood of them liquidating that is pretty high. And so
That
money comes straight out of the pockets of the community.
Right. Because they're selling again. They're selling against them, is what you're saying.
Exactly. So,
It's always in the native layer one token. You're saying.
Right. Yeah. So let me expand a little bit more on that idea. Sorry, I came off a little bit scattered saying that. So the drop that would go to the holders, let's say it's a 45-45-10 split. So holders 45%, project 45%, refer 10%. Then the holders, theirs is not vested, but then the projects and the referees, theirs was on a vested schedule. The concept being the idea that right now, if you have a team like Space Galleys come in, right, they do $80,000 in USD volume in 2 days. They stayed into the system. And if the creators are given a fund and theirs is vested, it helps keep or helps give them a nudge to stay in the game and to help see the platform succeed because their funds don't unlock right away.
So I guess that kind of draws on my other points that I think that projects should choose their platform based on the merits of the platform. So, you know, I'm not like a massive fan of incentivization at all. Like we do have, like take Juno for example, we do have a lot of programs to incentivize, for example, developers to come across to the network. And me personally, I'm not entirely on board all the time with that approach because I think that developers should be choosing their platform and where to focus their efforts based on the merits of the platform, not you know, what they can get paid to develop on. So that also feeds into that. I think that if people are developing a project, that project should be developed in mind that it can be self-sustained. So if a person or a developer is confident in their project, they should be willing to work almost for free to develop that thing in the first place, given that they will benefit from it later on down the track. If it's successful and if you believe in something that it's going to be successful, then I don't see the reason for incentivizing. So really we're just paying people to jump and change between different networks, you know, based on what they can get out of it at the time. I think, you know, long-term, interest in a network comes from people who believe in the benefits of that network and developing based on that. So, but that's just my opinion as well. It's like, you know, a lot of people don't agree with that.
Yeah, judging by the room and the emojis, I mean, I can see everyone mostly agrees with that. So the community pool itself, do you just view it as exclusively like a liability? Like if it was up to you, you would prefer that nothing gets spent from the community pool? Or are there situations where you do think it's worth it?
Sorry. I'm just going to interrupt Bonzi there. Bonzi, there's a problem with your question because you're not actually giving context in regards to why that project is coming over, whether that's to use Stargaze tech, the bridge, or whether it's just incentivizing a community from Ethereum or Solana to come over, because it depends on why you're giving that incentive. And that's why I kind of wanted you to elaborate on your question, because it's not helpful to ask a question without any context and to give a full picture of what's going on, because you guys are just going back and forth for like 3-4 times just, and you continue to expand on the question. Sorry, but it's really dumb. And I've just fucking woken up in the morning, so I'm grumpy. Sorry about that. But I want you to expand on why the project is even moving to Stargaze and why it should be given. Is it to test out the bridge, the tech, like Stargaze was giving Levana 3,000, well, community, Levana community 3,000 stars to come over, or whether it's just incentivizing them that, hey, why don't you come on Stargaze, because realistically, no one knows Stargaze. No one gives a shit about Stargaze right now, especially projects on Ethereum or Solana. Why should they will not come to Stargaze, especially even if you give them 3,000 stars, because 3,000 stars is nothing right now. It's not even $100, and they make $100, $200 on each flip.
All right, here's the background for this. There's a project that I'm talking to that in their sales in the past 6 to 9 months, they've done over $1.7 million in volume. They have over 4,000 ETH native holders. They do not have as much traction as they did back then as they do now. So the person and the team is very well connected in the space. They connect to a lot of hosts and a lot of core Ethereum people. The team also has a developer that does smart contracts. A lot of the value in the team that I'm looking at is in the team itself, not inherently its community. So the idea that I am trying to throw around is, hey, if they come over here, and this person has a very real voice in Ethereum, and they have influence over 5 to 10 other projects that have about, you know, 500 to 1,000 unique holders each. Is it valuable to say, what if we gave them, say, $40,000 or $50,000 USD from the pool to help incentivize growth? It's not even about trying to get their users directly involved. It's the value in the people that are in charge of this team. The reason why I didn't specify normally is because this situation and why it would get brought up would change every time depending on what team we're looking at and what they bring to the table. So that's a little bit more in depth about why I'm asking.
That makes sense. But again, if it's worth a try. It's definitely worth a try if you want to bring devs or teams from Ethereum to Stargaze. And I think you might need much more than 40, 50K to bring them over. And I guess...
So this is a part where you haven't seen the conversation, and that's roughly the dollar amount that they'd be asking for.
Yeah.
They're looking at it from a long-term perspective and seeing Stargaze as a startup with benefits and attributes you're not going to find on other chains. So, yeah,
but at the same time, you have no guarantee that they're going to stay, because if they're used to Ethereum, 3-4... Or even 500 Ethereum volume, having 4,000 community members used to that trading, used to that platform, used to everything, the infrastructure that's built on Ethereum. If they're coming to Stargaze, and Stargaze is just one app chain, it's just a NFT marketplace, and that's it, end of, nothing more than that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you're thinking too small. Like, the point of it is more so of the development and then the connections that they bring. So I just wanted to get a feedback, because I know that King Nodes and White Marlin, they're both validators on Stargaze. So these would be people that would have a very real say. And if those two would inherently vote no against it, then it's an idea that I would back off on. So that's kind of why I wanted to ask King Node directly about this question and just see if he was generally open to it or against it. Because if they're both against it, and I saw White Merlin agreeing, then it's something where I might not put as much effort into. But if it's something where they're open to it, I would give it a shot.
There's definitely, like, I think that a lot more people would probably be for that type of proposal than against it. Whilst I say that I would probably be against it, it doesn't necessarily mean that I would represent the majority. Like, I've got very specific feelings about spending community pool funds. So I'm not like, you know, that's my, you know, approach to it. But certainly, like, I don't think that I represent the majority in my approach. So.
Hey, Joe, I saw your hand up.
I have to come back in 5 minutes. I have a baby that needs to get fed. but I have questions about this situation. If I miss Sunnyside, I'll just DM him tomorrow.
Well, that sounds good.
Guys, no, I have to apologize. I have to go. I'm going somewhere with my partner, and she's not giving me happy eyes. So,
oh no, you need to take care of her. EJ just hopped in, so I was going to introduce you. He's actually the founder of Space Skellies. I don't know if you guys have ever met, but you do have to go. Maybe another time you guys can chat. But thank you so much for coming.
That's all right. You can hit me in the DM if anyone needs to talk to me. So I'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate the time, man.
No worries. See ya.
Hey, EJ.
What's up? How's everyone doing? Everyone have a good week? I think V said it's already be Saturday morning for him. So V, I hope you get some coffee or whatever you drink. And you said you're in a grumpy mood. I hope you get in a better mood.
He's grumpy.
He's like, don't talk to me the first few hours I'm awake and we're good. But yeah, man, I hope life's good. I hope everyone's good. Elliot, what's up, man? How's life?
I'm going well. Just had our launch, or you know, Crypto Tanks launch for Manaki Nico today. And of course Hubble's been down, I think, since yesterday, but other than that, well.
Yeah, I think did Hubble have an issue because of Stargaze's updates, or why? What's going on? Is it on Hubble's side or Stargaze's?
Oh, it's definitely Hubble needs to do something on their side. I personally haven't heard. I think it has to do with names, but I'm not positive on that.
Yeah, so we need to speak with Stargaze, because this is exactly why we said we need to get the rarities and everything in-house, because of situations like this, then you guys can just be taking care of it. So I mean, like, it sucks to say that, but if Stargaze has this all in-house, or we can just do it from the site, I think it takes care of a lot of issues. But yeah, that's unfortunate. But we did grab some of the Nekos today. Is it Neko or Nico, or how do you say it?
I think it's Nico. I'm actually not 100% sure.
He's like, I don't even really know. Okay, I got you. So yeah, we grabbed a few of them.
I was so stressed out, though. I'm not going to lie, because I use Hubble for everything. And when I went to it and it wasn't working, and I couldn't see the mint for the Manekis, I was like, what? I felt like lost a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Twitter Spaces wasn't working. It was even, oh my gosh, I was like in some kind of weird vortex hell. I was like, what the hell is happening? Nothing is working.
Yeah, that's interesting that happened, but it's all good. They'll get it fixed. Hopefully Stargaze or whoever's communicating with them, and it all gets updated. But I don't know how big the team is at Hubble. I don't know. I do know they offer, it's a tool that I think it was built for free, and it's kind of been a tool everyone's become relying on. So I think if we want it to run properly, it needs to have the manpower and the fund. I don't know. There's really no other way to put that. They can't keep growing with the same amount of team if the platform keeps growing and we keep asking for more things. But yeah, it's interesting, but it's all good. Hubble's awesome, and we love it.
I think it's only a team of two guys, if I remember right. I might be wrong, and this was back in way long ago when I asked, so it could be different now, but it was pretty small, if I remember.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I messaged them on Twitter. I mean, surprisingly, they get back with you pretty quick, but I got that feel that it was probably five or less people on the team. So overall, great. They're amazing, and I'm sure they'll get it fixed. So, and on the plus side, it's from a project that people trust. It's not like it was a shady project that people were minting, you know. So it wasn't too concerning. And at the end of the day, people put value on what they feel, whether or not the rarities are high or low. The community should say the value of everything. If they think a specific trait is better than a trait that's lower, then they just need to value it at a specific floor price. And I mean Hubble's great and all, but at the end of the day, the communities really decide what's what.
Well, the rarity,
Tank, yeah Sorry. No, you're good.
I was going to say the rarity on this one was so hard to do because of all the variations. Like, you don't actually want to go off the rarity chart.
Exactly. And sometimes people don't understand with collections, rarities also have to be decided on not just like, okay, this trade is awesome, but like, we may just not want it to show up as often because we don't want it to come up too many times. Because it like throws just the feel of the collection off. Not because it's rare or because it took longer to make. It can just kind of throw off the collection. So sometimes I think people take that and they're like, well, it's less of them, so it's got to be more rare. Well, that's not how it always works. But yeah, the collection looked great. I think one of my favorite traits was the three skulls that are stacked on each other. Like, I think it's a pretty common one. I don't know. But I really like that.
Yeah, so we did the ones that are colored. Those ones are actually more rare. I forget what their percentages are off the top of my head, but the ones that are bronze, silver, and gold, they each are more progressively rare. But then because of all the gravestones that have different variations, those show up as more rare. So I wrote in extra metadata to specifically define the ones that were gold, silver, and bronze.
I got you. That would make sense. But yeah, it looks great. It's just unfortunate. It's just been a terrible end of the, it's been a terrible year for just investments in general. So I hope everything continues to mint out and go well for everybody. But it, you know, the Fed's released another interest rate hike and we knew it was coming and the market dumped even further. And I'm just like sitting here wondering when the heck is it going to stop? But it sucks because it's a good looking collection. And it just is, we all know if the market were to be flipped, all these collections would be minting out within, you know, a day. And right now it's like, hopefully we mint out in a week. Like, that's kind of what we have to plan on. But yeah.
And this one, you know, I talked to Tank before we released it, because, you know, this is Tank's collection. It's not ours. Like, he makes the final call on everything. I just let him know. I was like, just so you know, like, this is going to take some time to, you know, mint out. And he's like fully aware of that and kind of knew that going in.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys talked about it, because it is what it is. I mean, it doesn't change. You just, if you plan for it, then it's easier to make adjustments. But if you think like we're going to mint out, it is what it is. Like, then when you get hit because you don't mint out, things start to change pretty quick.
Luckily that doesn't, you know, that
yeah, man, I feel for you too. I know you went to Tory and Tory got nuked. Like, I was thinking about you all week last week, just how all the phone calls we have, and I'm like, God, like, I know you on that validator and everything. I was sitting over there just praying that it would just stop. I was just praying for you, man.
He was praying for you, man.
I was sitting there at the end of the night. I'm not even kidding you. I'm going to bed. I'm sitting, like, as Bands knows, I always go through my messages at the end of the night. And I'm sitting here. I look at the price of Tory and I go, man, Elliot, I'm thinking, like, in my head, I'm like, man, I'm thinking of you. And I don't know, man. Maybe it's a sore subject, so sorry if it is, but...
No, yeah. So this is the thing, like, so, okay, even with Tory's price changes and everything we did, obviously it hurts on the collection side, but I got into Tory day one. I think I still made out, like, 5x out of it, even with all the price decline. Like, Tory was a win for me. Even with the validator costs, it's not something I'm fretting. I'll put it that way.
Insider trading. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's
no,
awesome.
Your prayer worked, DJ. You thought of him, and then
I mean, I didn't know. hey, this is good news, because this whole week I haven't been on spaces as much because we've been just we've been just like working our ass off on the back and getting so much done with the scripts and everything. I'm actually literally working on rarities right now, but it doesn't, nothing goes by without me checking, you know, the price action throughout the day. And then like I said, all the phone calls you and I have had and the advice you've given me, and then just to see Tori just like what hit after hit after hit, I was like, man, I hope he's okay. So it's good to know you got in super early and things are okay. Like that's really good to hear.
Yeah. The one thing I'm bummed out about is the day that we had to set our price was the day that Tori hit 78 cents. So that's the one thing
that's I mean, that, see, that's like when we minted, it was the same concept. We set our price. Like I kept telling the team, like, we're going to wait 24 to 48 hours. Like, we're just telling everyone it's going to be around $25 to $35, like just so they can have the USDC. And then right when we announced the start price, you know, we started our mint. We minted like 30 to 40% right away. And then FTX came out, like CZ released that tweet, and then the prices started to tank. And I think price for an NFT by the end of the mint was literally 50 to 60% off because of the price change. So by the time the last few were minted, so people definitely got good deals. And I agree with that. It's kind of sucks, but is what it is.
Yeah.
So no. Is your validator in the active set, or how's that going for you?
Yeah, we're number 85, I think, in the active set.
Hell yes.
Yeah, it's been in the active set, I think, since the first day we launched it. I should look through like everything, but I mean, we'll see if we renew the contract or not. You know, everyone kind of knows like high tokenomics go down. I don't know. We have another month to month and a half before we have to decide if we're going to renew or not. Really just going to depend. I don't want to say either way right now.
Yeah. I mean, I expressed my concerns to you prior to the Tori launch, and yeah, now you definitely can see why. And you, I mean, remember the last talk you had, we were like, okay, let's wait to buy Tori until the T-Sass airdrop. And good thing we did, because after T-Sass got that drop, I feel like things started to really trickle and then trickle more. And then the dump came. But it is what it is. I mean, there's still great people. It's just unfortunate that happened.
Oh, yeah. And I was pretty vocal to the Tori team when I like saw the airdrop. I'm like, what are you guys doing giving these projects so much money? Like, why? Like, there's nothing to spend it on. So
and I think that was kind of like when you were talking earlier about giving stars to validate or to certain projects, and I know we've talked about it. That's kind of a concern, people. That is a concern, as it all comes down to how is it vested and things like that. So I know that is a concern everyone will have, is like, well, how is it vested? Because stars is already pretty fragile as it is right now. So what is, because as a business from Stargaze, it's a business investment. That's what it is. Your network is your net worth, and you have to invest into your network to get the net worth. Like that's business. So I get it, but it's also at what cost. Does it negatively impact the community? And if it does, then it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, if you don't have community, you don't have a platform. So that's what I'd be really interested in, because I'm 100% with you. Like, you have to find some way to properly incentivize projects to want to at least look into Stargaze without like buying them out or buying them to come over. Because if that's the only reason they come over, they'll come over, take their airdrops or whatever, they'll wipe their hands, and then they'll move on. So I'm very curious what you guys have cooking. And we can probably talk a little bit more about that in private DMs.
But, yeah. No, totally. And
real quick, I know V has his hands up, but I want to hear from Lou Gaines if possible. On the
yeah, I'm sorry. Don't worry about that. V always has his hand up. Gaines,
I'm not even looking at my phone. So if I'm just talking to the room's not quiet, so you guys can do whatever.
Go ahead, V. What's up?
No, I was just gonna comment a bit on what you guys said about the Tory stump and airdrops and everything. I really don't think it makes such a big difference in regards to the airdrops, because those airdrops aren't going to dump the price that much. That the price is going to dump itself. It's going to dump naturally. I mean, how much has the Stars price dumped without any airdrops to NFT communities? And even if they did an airdrop to the communities to bring them over or to incentivize them, how much more would have it dumped, like the 5% max 5%? Because it's not that significant of an airdrop that you're doing anyway. In regards to the Tory dump, I really don't think that the token dumped because they gave TSAS or Heroes an airdrop. It's just because of the bad tokenomics and how all airdrops and tokens work in the cosmos. They always dump because most of the people who are staking Atom or Juno or whoever have received the airdrop, they're going to dump them as a group.
And I'm going to come off a little bit of aggressive, but like...
Oh, you can come aggressive, but let me just complete my point. Yeah, so from my point of view, if you pick up the right communities and airdrop and do give them airdrops, for example, when they had the Rebels and the Tory Punks minting, the only reason why I didn't mint them, I was thinking of minting them, I did like the platform, but the only reason why I didn't mint them was I was just thinking, they didn't really give Wrecked Gang an airdrop, and they were already in conversation, and I think they told us to set up a validator, do a few things, and then we were finalizing some things, and they were just a bit back and forth and unsure, and then they said, oh yeah, I think we're having issues with the airdrops or something. And then I was just like, fuck them, I'm not even getting involved. If you've told us to set up a validator, we've set up a validator, we're looking at putting things in place. And then you're going back on your word. I don't really trust what you're building or doing. But if we got an airdrop, I'm pretty sure a lot of community members, the main idea is to get community members, more people involved in your blockchain. And I think Tory did achieve that. But the problem is that when you target specific NFT projects, for example, Heroes and the Mutant Apes, the Star Ape Society, they've got a massive overlap in terms of the community they have. So it's just community members that got airdrops from two NFT projects, and it was the same people that were going. Go for it, Ponzi.
Okay, the last part I agree with. The part about the bad tokenomics, I think you're right that it does catch up. But like when Stars started, the first few projects that minted, they were bringing in USD values of above $200,000. Like I think Stargaze Punks was between $250,000 and $325,000. I'm assuming that most Genesis projects for the first 2 to 3 weeks, they just dumped it right away, because why wouldn't you? So when the trading volume, you know, organically is probably only, I really don't want to just say a number that's wrong, but like it's not $200,000 a day. And then these projects are dumping $200,000. I mean, that's going to plummet the price. With Tory, I know some of those Tory airdrops were worth $175,000 was one of them, where that project didn't even have a validator. So I'm sure everyone that got airdropped just dumped it.
All
Oh my gosh, I hit the button by my accident. I didn't mean to mute you. You said everyone that had the project just dumped it, and then my finger hit the mute. I apologize. You can continue. Oh,
yeah. And
she wanted to say it, but she couldn't. So her body did it for me. Like, shut the fuck up. What you said?
No, shut up. Shut up. No, it was a mistake. Don't listen to him. He's alive.
With you tonight because I feel like you've had bad takes, but like, they're dumping a ton of money. Like, it's not minuscule amount. It's multiples of the normal trading volume. And a lot of these projects that, with the Tory one specifically, the team that created the Stargaze project, some of these teams owned a huge portion of their own supply and would just dump it as well. Anyhow, I did want to hear, sorry, you can respond.
Yeah, no, look, the truth is that if there's not that liquidity, then your token isn't actually worth that amount. It's not worth it. Because people do like to say that, oh, the market cap is X amount, or there's this much liquidity, and this is the actual price, but that's not the actual fucking price. Because as soon as someone's going to try to convert it into, because you like to compare it in USDC value, but because we should say one star is one star, it doesn't make a difference. For example, Space Gullies minted, or any other mint that, like, if you've got Maneki's minting right now, if you just say 800 stars is 800 stars, that's it. It doesn't make a difference in terms of USD value. But at the same time, in real world terms, because that's the money that you're actually going to spend, you're comparing it to USD terms already. So you're going to have to liquidate those stars if you have to, if that's your only source of income. You are going to have to liquidate it. And when you do liquidate it, the price is going to dump. And if this that liquidity isn't there in the blockchain yet, then that's not the correct price. And the price should dump until it stops dumping. The blockchain needs to do a better job of marketing and getting more liquidity in there and getting more people involved.
For that part, like, I don't disagree with you. I'm just thinking on a timeline. How long does it take to see that price? One of the things that Tori did, if you wanted to mint in Tori, you had to have a validator and you had to stake 100% of your proceeds. That was one of the things they did. But, you know, the drops that they did, the airdrops, completely, you know, removed any benefit that had. But you're right, it's a fake price.
So Joe just hopped in, and Sunnyside, you kept saying that you wanted to hear from somebody. Did you want to hear from Gaines or?
Yeah, specifically Gaines, because he has hand up a ton when I was asking questions to King Node, and he is definitely on his side, so I wanted to see what he had to say.
And that opinion, that judgment to say that Gaines is on King of Nodes' side. How could you? How could you be on Sunny's side? Wow.
Oh, I'm my offended. God.
I'm freaking offended.
No, but I did say I was on his side there with what he was saying to Don. But I just think that they should, you know, get on a call together so that Don can ask all of his questions, bring up all his concerns, and just hash this out before it goes on Twitter and everybody starts retweeting and just fucking making a mess on Twitter. Because I've had to clean up messes on Twitter, and I'm tired of cleaning up messes on Twitter. But I will say I did call the top for Tory, and I told people to, you know, be careful of Tory because they were just handing out tokens left and right. And another thing I would mention is we're in a bear market, so things are going to continue to dump if people get free tokens. When we're in a bull market, people are probably going to hodl it or swap to other tokens and make the other token price pump. So, Tori, I don't know. I even been telling people, like, every time I would get an airdrop for Tori, I'm going to sell it to USDC.
Right. So the Tori part, totally agree on. I was actually curious about the first thing that I had asked King Nodes about the idea of using community funds for other projects.
Oh, yeah, about that idea. What is stopping a project, right, that has a community to come to Stargaze and launch their own project on Stargaze? Nothing is stopping them. So they're going to do it regardless, right, if they want to. Now, if you bring up that, hey, projects that come to Stargaze and people that refer them to Stargaze, guess what? You're going to get a nice little airdrop with your community. Will also receive that airdrop. Come over here and launch your project. Obviously, dude, there's going to be a lot of shit happening in the background where a project that was already planning to come to Stargaze is just going to select one of their teammates to say, hey, just say that you referred us. Get a nice little, like, you know, referral. And also another thing is, how do we vet these projects that really do have, like, a lot of liquidity, or not a lot of liquidity, but a big community to come to Stargaze? What's the vetting process, right, for that? I just see, like, a lot of scammers just fucking launching a collection on a dead chain, coming to Stargaze just to get that referral code and get all those nice little airdrops that they would receive.
Right.
So, and Joe, oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I'll let Joe and Maestro chime in first before I respond. Sorry, I was...
Yeah, Maestro, you can go first. I'll wait.
Yeah, I almost forgot. I think with the whole dumping the tokens and all that, I think it kind of played out a little different with... I don't know if Tori, did they have any liquidity pools? Was there any farming on Osmosis?
Yeah, they did have a liquidity pool. Yeah.
Oh, then I don't know anything about Tori. I just, you know, I was thinking, like, normally when there's a new project and they do airdrops, like, there's, you know, a liquidity pool right away with, like, you know, high PRs, and then everyone's buying the token, so it just keeps going up and up and up and up. But yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh no, you're totally fine. Okay, so Gaines, like, here's kind of the thought. Like, the idea is not that this is a uniform process that gets repeated the same way every time. And the idea of this referral code, you're right, a lot of people will try to game the system, and there is a vetting process being included. But what I can also say is that there's a lot of core Stargaze community members that are involved in these other projects on Ethereum, Solana, etc. Some of these people that are, I'm going to ignore V, but some of these people that are, what they kind of have that I would not naturally have is this personal connection to these project creators. I've had a few people that have connected me directly to project creators that are of a notable size on these other chains. And it's just one of the things where if I look at it, I'm like, hey, you know, if there's these trusted community members that they come up and they say, hey, you know, I got these guys to have a call with you, and if it can lead to something, it'd be awesome to be able to reward those people with a referral fee. If we get 100, you know, requests, it's going to me. It's not like it's going to all of Stargaze. It's not going to a poll. These are just going to be personable requests that go to me or another Stargaze team member that bring up the idea. And that'd be kind of the first part of just saying, hey, do we trust this community member? Then if the answer is like yes from there, and we talk to the project, well, the vetting process, you know, it's never going to be perfect. But the idea is, now I get on a call with them. It's a video call. The other Stargaze team members get on a call, and that's kind of where the idea of if we give that project's creator any funds, it's vested. They don't get it. It's unlocked over a period of time. That way, it's in their best interest to continue building on the platform to help increase adoption, because their investment is not going to be able to be dumped right away. I know that it's a very, like, I'm oversimplifying it, and there's a lot more challenges than what I'm bringing up, like speaking about right now, but that's just kind of the broad overview.
Mm, okay. Well, try to do some research on how Polygon is attracting creators for projects over their NFT projects, because I heard they have a crazy cool like BizF team, and just weigh the risk of having to do something like that. Like, why? I mean, like, do we really have to incentivize projects to come to Stargaze? Why wouldn't they already come to Stargaze, right? Why aren't they coming to Stargaze is the better question. So I think you're kind of like thinking in the right direction, but I just don't like the idea of already presenting a project with funds for them to come to Stargaze. You know what I mean? Like, of course they're going to come. I mean, if you present them with a nice little stack of cash, they're going to be like, fuck, why not? Let's see what happens. It's free money.
Hey, I was just going to say, I think it's really hard to compare any chain to Polygon, just because they're on Ethereum and they're like they're the cheaper version of Ethereum. What's the matter? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, and the other thing is, what would stop a project from coming to?
I
can't believe Gaines is going to interrupt me again. So, I think what would stop any project from going to Stargaze is volume, and that's it. Volume on Stargaze is minuscule compared to like the top six or seven chains. And some of these projects would be used to a volume greater than the entire Stargaze platform, just like the liquidity, being able to flip quickly and stuff like that. So I think Stargaze has a long way to go, but I think that Stargaze has a lot of features that maybe you can vet some projects and bring them over for a reasonable price if that's what's deemed necessary and valuable in the long run. It's tough because I do side with Null a little bit too, because I think the community funds should be the hardest funds to spend. They should be, it should, community spend proposals should get voted no 3, 4, 5 times, and they should get revised 3, 4, 5 times, and then only the good ones should pass after lots of discussion, after they've been voted no. Like this, like, you know, with Prop 89, I think the team should rewrite the proposal. I don't think they should just give up, because I think if they do it correctly, it will get passed. But, you know, there needs to be value, clear value for the community, and it needs to get constantly revised. But anyway, I wish I caught some of that conversation about token dumping and the price and all that, but I'll listen.
Right. And so, like, I tend to agree. And the call that I had specifically, we talked about, because this project made over 1.7 or something million dollars, right? So on the call, they're like, I mean, we don't care about the volume. Like, they said the volume, you know, is nothing. And she said, like, there's no reason any project would ever want to move over here, because why would they if they've already made it big?
Is this for like a spin-off collection? They're just going to try to mint on another chain? Is that what you're talking about?
No. So this, the one I'm talking to specifically, what they, so I'll try to give this like with a pretty clear picture as I can. So
I know you've explained it more than once, and I only caught like pieces of it. So sorry that I'm making you explain it again.
Oh no, you're fine. And I'm sorry. I know I'm not going to do this perfectly, but so they did 1.7 million between March and now, somewhere in that time. Their volume is declining. They still have a fairly active community. And the idea is they want to be able to stand out somewhere, and they want to get away from kind of the backstabbing nature of ETH between a lot of the projects that goes on. And they like how Stargaze is community focused. It's So for them, it's not necessarily about the money. It's about building for long term. And that's kind of like why they've taken an interest. And what they want the funds for is not to make up funds that they could get on Ethereum, but more so to be able to support their like their growth and things that they want to build on Stargaze. Sorry, go ahead, EJ.
Oh, no, you're good. I would just listen to the Polygon situation. And I'll say from being over there and having the privilege to speak with the business department, the business department of just like One Planet and Polygon in general, Polygon Studios, they have millions of dollars to spend for these proposals. Don't think for one minute that these big market companies are just coming to Polygon for fun. There's a reason they're choosing Polygon, and there's a reason they're investing millions of dollars into it. There's absolutely incentives on the back end. That's just how business is. It's who you know. I'll stop that. There's actually two parts to that, but it's just all about who you know. And when you come to business, it doesn't matter what the tokenomics are. It doesn't matter what the volume is. It's about what do I get out of the situation. So when you can try to compare a project to a corporation, you can't do that. You just can't. The reason we didn't go to Polygon is that there is no community. 100% is no NFT community. I don't care if they're making signature after signature after signature. They are not signing communities. They're signing corporations. And every day a lot of us complain about, oh, big corps. But when we have good news for crypto, we think it's a good thing, but it's not. They're doing the same thing they do in the real world. They're taking over certain markets so that they can be ahead of the game purely for their gain of business. It has nothing to do with communities, absolutely nothing. It's all about scalability and making sure you're ahead of the game. You either make history or you become a part of history. And people like Starbucks and them, they are always ahead of the game. People like Microsoft and all of them, they're incredible. And Polygon can absolutely allow you to scale. So I think Polygon, you can't really compare those because Polygon's absolutely incredible tech. But I don't think right now you could go to Polygon, say you're a collection and you take 3 months to build, you're more likely to have a better mint, in my opinion, purely where the community is. It almost doesn't even matter what chain, as long as you find the community. And that is what we found on Stargaze. The only reason we came to Stargaze is because it was pure community. And you guys are freaking amazing. Like, in that, and I won't go anywhere else. So for me, I went to Polygon, I went to ETH, I went to Solana, and I didn't need incentives, but I didn't have a big collection. So I don't have that going for me. But I didn't need incentives to finally find a community. So it is a roundabout way. You just got to separate the conversation because of Polygon versus Stargaze versus ETH. You can't compare them because Joe is 100% right. You can't compare chains because the millions of dollars flowing in aren't, you can't, they're just not the same. They haven't been around the same amount of time. They haven't been around the same amount of cash flow. And a lot of them don't have the manpower that these big corporations do. So that's my input. I freaking love Stargaze for the community. I love Polygon for the tech. So I think that just like, I want people to understand, like, these are all incredible chains for specific things. So like, it's okay to have business offers and to try to make business deals if it's done properly. Kind of like what I said earlier, but that's my two cents. And hopefully anyone can really, I don't know.
I want to pop in real quick, just off that.
Go on, Bonzi. Go on.
So if it went my way, like what I think is like, I know this will never get passed. I know it would never get back. And that's why I'm not trying to do it. But literally referral bonuses, I'm waiting for V's laugh. But like a $5,000 or $1,000 bonus for a community member that is native to Stargaze, but is involved in other projects from other chains, those people have a ton more reach than anyone trying to cold outreach to these larger projects and try to get them involved. I personally just think even something as small as that could be extremely effective, but I know it would never get approved or passed, and I know every one of them would be a fight.
Why do you need to reach out to people with bundles of money? I mean, you're not even reaching out to them with massive amounts of money. Why do you need to reach out to other projects and communities? Why not focus on the people that you have over here? Why not focus on, you've got Orbital Apes, why not focus on getting some of them over here? From Evmos, why not focus on the Juno community and try to onboard them onto NFT projects, Stargaze, get people involved in NFTs, focus on the Cosmos itself, on the bag holders that you have, the token holders you have. I mean, I think that's the main idea of JunoSource. That's the main idea of JunoSource sub-DAO, that just increase the memes, spread the memes, have fun. I mean, that's what raccoons are doing. That's what Robo Games and Rama are doing. Robo especially, because he's just on spaces all the time talking shit. Memes, sharing the story of the raccoon, shilling raccoons, and onboarding people into NFTs. Why not focus on the community you already have? Why the fuck are you even reaching to Polygon or Ethereum or Solana? Those people are never going to come because you don't have any infrastructure. There's nothing over here. Stargaze right now is at least 6-7 years behind Ethereum.
Whoa, Jesus Christ.
The thing is that in terms of... It is. The thing is that you might have project founders coming to Stargaze because they want to mint out their collection and they want to get out that money, but what's the ETH dev going to do on Stargaze?
Okay, V. This is the reason I'm being annoyed. So everything you say is just because you haven't seen the stuff I've been working on before this. One of the first things that I'm going to bring up is when I joined the Stargaze team, I wrote a report on what I thought the focus should be. And the number one thing I said, other than making it easier to onboard people, was to make sure that we consolidate the Xterra community here and reach out to the other Cosmos chains. That was my number one focus. I helped push through the idea of Lunar Assistant with GravyDAO for important tool in those communities. So I'm very aware of that. The reason that I'm bringing this up on this space was because there was two validators here. So this is future thinking. It's not necessarily what's happening right now. This is a timing difference. And you haven't seen the whole thought process on what I'm going through. That's the main reason I've been getting slightly annoyed.
He's taking the piss, fucking Sonny. He's fucking taking the piss. But we have Joe up here.
Yes, let's let Joe. He's had his hand nice up.
You know, I'm just listening. I'm not that impatient. I'm only impatient on my live streams. So, what I was gonna add on, I don't think Stargaze is 6 or 7 years behind, but they're definitely behind in volume. And for NFTs, the volume matters because they're such a they're so illiquid, generally speaking. I would almost not trust a project that says they want to come to Stargaze. And if I was involved in an NFT collection on any chain, even on Cardano, I would be furious if they were migrating the collection to a chain that only does 10,000 volume a day. That's one NFT on another chain, right? People that are hardcore NFT collectors, they don't want $5, $10 NFTs. It's just the way they think. They like NFTs better when they're more expensive. It's a weird mentality, and that's why you see the prices go way up and then come way down so fast. It's just weird. But I think what you could do is, if you think their intentions are good, without paying them something from the community fund, it would be cheaper just to mint them a collection over here. Just be like, hey, you know what? We want to do something for a big Ethereum project like yourselves, because we think you will bring future value to the chain because of who you know. And we want to, you know, showcase Stargaze, because the only reason to come to Stargaze is for the tooling that's coming in 2023. You can mint them a collection for like a quarter of that, 40,000-50,000 or way less, and say, look, we're going to give you guys this collection, you know, test out all the tooling, check out the community, screw around in the marketplace. Yeah, maybe they'll come in, they'll buy some more NFTs and all that. And then as the tooling gets rolled out, whether it's DAO tooling or, you know, interoperable NFTs and all that, that I think that would be that little bit of money compared to the 40,000-50,000 incentive to bring them over would go a little further, be less risky for the community, and would be easier sell. Because I wouldn't trust a project that says they want to come to Stargaze, at least not now. The only reason they'd be coming is for, like I said, the tooling that's 2023 and, you know, and beyond.
Go on, Maestro.
Yeah, just to add on Joe, yeah, I think you're right. A few days ago, I jumped on a Twitter space, and there was a lot of people there. And a lot of those guys were just, you know, talking about, you know, $1,000 NFTs, $2,000 NFTs, and they were just, you know, asking people, like, where's the next hot thing? But they're all talking about $1,000 NFTs. And I was just thinking, man, I'm just going to get out of here, because the minute I say Stargaze and we got fucking $20 NFTs, they're going to laugh. And one more thing. How do you know when you're getting old?
Oh, I know.
Well, I'm fucking watching videos on how to get rid of my wrinkles now.
Oh, I did that over the summer.
Yeah, I'm 38 and I got to get rid of my wrinkles.
Oh, you're 38? So, yeah. Dude, yeah. When I was 38, I was still playing sports. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Well, yeah.
You've got a Babu Chod PFP. You're young. You're not old at all. Your PFP matters. That's it.
Hey, man, I get about 5 hours of sleep every day. 5 hours of sleep. And life is hard. And I'm starting to get wrinkles. And I need to keep it sexy for my wife. You feel me?
Oh, here we go.
I think you look good in your PFP. I think you look good.
Hey, EJ.
Just gotta change your drawers and you'll be fine. EJ, V, you're cranky. You're cranky.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Sorry.
No, you know what I love about Stargaze is that, like, I just went yesterday and I was saving up some money for a bad kid, and I just went crazy and just bought some baby chodes just for the heck of it, because it's fun, it's cheap, and no expectation. You're not expecting anything out of it. It's just the banter and the memes, and that's it. And for me, Stargaze from day one is just being a meme NFT chain where I can see bad kids and
chodes. That's what I was just about to say. I was just about to say, we think Wawa is the meme chain. Stargaze is the meme chain. It's so much fun during the bear market.
Exactly. And I know that people get pissed off, like we've got EJ over here. We have the dog house. We've got projects from Terra that actually want to provide value and utility to their community. And they do have an amazing community and they are working really hard. But it gets kind of annoying when they see meme projects cement out and do insane amounts of volume. But I think that's the kind of culture you have, and that's the kind of culture, I guess, people that grows. And that even with Stargaze, Bonzi said that they wanted to consolidate the ex-Terra community. I mean, you didn't really do a great job, unfortunately, because you've got most of the projects, most of the community is still there on one planet, on Polygon, and they're trading. And if they are the people who should be incentivized, because even now, the ex-Terra projects on Polygon, they're clueless, because as EJ said, there's no actual community on Polygon. Because recently there's two projects that had a partnership with Polygon Studios. One of them was Hellcats, and they had a partnership, and everyone thought of it as a massive deal, and everyone was thinking there's going to be a lot going on with it, but it was just for marketing purposes, basically in events they're probably going to have a Hellcat poster or some merch or something. And the second project was Polygon Punks, and I joined the spaces the other day, and I think there were around 30 people or something. And this is supposed to be Polygon. They were calling themselves the first punks of Polygon and the OG blue chip punk project, and the Discord was dead. The spaces was just talking about, oh, we're going to the moon now. We're going to do amazing. We have an amazing community. And it was just five people just circle jerking. And that was it. And I just went up and did what I usually do. I just fucked their ass off and told them that, look, you're just, bro, you're just a freaking stug. You're just a CryptoPunk derivative. What? And they were talking about themselves being the Mona Lisa on Polygon. And I was trying to give them a reality check and telling them that, why would anyone care about Polygon punks when you've got CryptoPunks and Ethereum and they're just over here? But I really think Stargaze should just focus on the people that they have. Just share the memes. Maybe let us do the Stargaze source and give us some money. Give us some airdrop, man.
I think Stargaze should also troll the projects that went to Loop and were unable to sell out their collections when they could have stayed on Stargaze. Because I was shocked that Juno community did not support NFTs the way Stargaze did. And maybe when interchain NFTs become a thing, there's some incentive to bring those back to Stargaze where they belong, like Sky Monks and, you know, the projects that split. That also that other project, Sunnyside Reapers, you know, a couple others.
Yeah,
I just want to say goodbye to everyone. It was nice talking to every one of you guys. Fucking amazing fucking space today.
Hey, take it easy, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I gotta finish watching this video and then I gotta go to sleep.
Thanks for stopping in. We'll hopefully come next month, because we do this these game nights monthly. It was supposed to be more of a game night, but this was great too.
you should call it that time of the month.
I didn't realize it was a game night. I think I joined really late. But Joe, you're right in terms of the Juno community not really supporting NFT projects or not even being interested in them. Because, I mean, Wrecked Gang minted on Juno. In terms of Terra, we were the third highest market cap on Terra, and we did millions in volume on Terra. And we had a strong, well, we still have a strong as fuck community. And when we moved to Juno, we were expecting to do great because we've seen what's happened on Stargaze, and we were kind of expecting that, okay, we're moving to Cosmos. Cosmos is Cosmos, and people who have stars also have Juno, and they don't mind trading at one place or another. But when they see the value that we provide and what our project is about, they're definitely going to mint or trade or do things like that. But we've not really seen any of the Juno community involved. We've not seen many native Cosmos people on board. We've seen a few, but that's pretty much it.
V, you know what you need to do, right? You need to take your bulls 2x2 and put them on the ARC protocol and send them to a different chain.
No, but I need to. I don't need our protocol for that. We can do that ourselves because the contracts are upgradable. So you just need that XLR communication layer in place and you can sort that out.
Perfect. Even better.
Man, I got rugged out of that space the other day. I was talking to ARC Protocol and I was trying to understand what they're doing and I got rugged. Mr. T is really nice, though. I love the guy.
Yeah, Mr. T is amazing. But they're basically bridging NFTs. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to be done. But I know they have a space, this weekend or next week sometime. So I know he told me he's on our Space Skellies team. He helps with a lot of the data. So he told me a little bit about everything. But there's a lot of things he's not supposed to talk about until he announces it with Stargaze. So I know he was kind of beating around the bush on some answers because that's all he was allowed to really say. I don't know if he has a contract signed or what, but I do know he has a pretty large grant in place, and I'm sure that has something to do with what information he's allowed to release at what time. but he's incredible. He's genuinely very respectful and honest. So we enjoy having him.
Well, guys, I've been here since 10 p.m. and it is 2:26 a.m. This has been awesome. This has been great, and I had a blast, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out. Joe,
thanks, guys, for joining that time of the month with Bands and Skellies. See you next month, where we're going to play. Oh,
we're going to draw. We're going to draw for sure. You have to draw. Because there was just too much technical difficulties with the stumble, guys.
Is it, how did that go before y'all hop off? How'd game night go?
It was fun. I had fun. We played. I get all nervous when you ask me questions like this. I'm like, it went well. It's fine.
It's all good. It can go great.
No, I think it went well. We just played games. Don didn't want to draw, but he was just kind of messing with me. So next month, we'll do Scrib again. But we played the Stumble Guys, and you just have to have the app on your phone. And you have to try not to get – it's a knockout multiplayer game, so you have to try not to get knocked out and pushed off the game. And you got to make it through this, like, obstacle course.
That's cool.
So it's really freaking hard. But it was definitely fun. I'm going to have to, like, definitely bring the Scrib back, though, because a couple people came in saying they wish that they came to draw and there was no drawing.
Heck yes. Speaking of minigames, our minigame was released today to the Play Store, so it'll be probably a week before it's rendered, and then, or whatever it is with Google Play reviews, and then we will have it on WebGL, however you technically say that, so y'all can play it on your PC, on your browser, but we'll release that on Christmas Day most likely, or the day before, but wanted to give you an update on that. Just a mini game for fun, no real. It's not a P2E, it's not nothing, it's just purely for fun. While maybe you get tired of listening to your family members, you can play it. So that's really it, guys.
It's fun. I played it. I was like in it. It's like has like a robot on the, like a, it's like Space Invader, and it's like shooting up. I don't know. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I did the easy one because I'm not good at games, obviously, but yeah, you should guys try it out.
Yeah, it's like, it's a space shooter game. So yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'll hop off, let Band sign you off. Y'all are amazing. Envy, we always love the craziness that you bring, and whether you're grumpy mood or bad mood or amazing mood, you're incredible in general. Bonzi, Joe, Gaines, I don't know whoever else stepped up to talk today, but I talked to you guys and y'all are awesome. So you're the reason we're here and we appreciate you guys. So thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, BJ.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely, guys. Take it easy. Enjoy your weekend. Make someone's day. It's late. Get some sleep. And yeah, make someone have a good day tomorrow. Later, guys.
All right, later. Bye, guys. Have a nice night. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of the two-part Space Skellies Game Night and Crypto Open Mic, recorded on Friday, December 16th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Now, with Spark IBC enabled.
When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pump and double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes, and take the rest and turn them into free bait. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
I'll be wrecking precautions, direct. expecting impossible, defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance, running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day, feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and talk everlasting, feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy, trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall, all hands on deck waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject, so feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences, how they draw conclusions and find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong, how an individual can be led astray by certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.
Terror Spaces.